My name is Ada Bello. I originally came from Cuba in 1958 when the university was closed due to the political unrest that was under Batista. So I transferred to Louisiana State in Baton Rouge, where I got my degree, and I came to Philadelphia in 1962. I thought that Philadelphia was a perfect place because I had a gay community to integrate myself in. I had clubs where I could meet people. Rossi's was a typical gay bar. It wasn't particularly attractive. Decoration was not one of their offerings. They had a jukebox because that was before disco. And it was at the top of the stairs on the second floor behind Baron Variety Room. That was the name of the bar downstairs, and that was a bar open to the public. We have a male bartender because I think at the time women couldn't serve behind the bar in Pennsylvania unless they were the owners. And of course, Rusty was not the owner, so she couldn't do that. So that was the only man most of the time at Rusty's. They were all women and the bartender. They didn't want any clear demonstration of affection between the women because that might get them in trouble. So if anybody got too chummy with their partner, they would come and tap you in the shoulder. There was a lot of drinking, obviously. It was a bar. For those days, it was very loud. So there was not much room for conversation. So you drank more because you had to do something. And of course, there was dancing, which I understand in Pennsylvania, I think two women could dance, but not two men. If there was a raid, you will know that they were coming because somebody will unplug the jukebox and then the lights will go on. And then, you know, you were in the middle of it. So that was the situation. Yes, you had to be underground. After a while, I realized that, yes, I could go to a bar, I could go to gay functions, but I always had to fear that the place was going to be raided and I was going to end up in jail, which happened to many people. And that would have really been very serious development because I wasn't a citizen. So it was not only me, but a number of my friends, lesbian friends, that were mostly professional women that had jobs and they considered themselves useful citizens. Yet we had to confront this reality that what we did, which was the same scene that people in the heterosexual world that were in the same position will do just for pure fun, was always under the shadow of the potential police coming in or you getting in some sort of problems because of your sexual orientation. You had to remember the mood of the country at the time, in the 60s. There were a lot of groups claiming their rights. So that had an impact on us, obviously. We then realized, you know, we had a grievance. People were more inclined now to be mad. Before, we just sort of like were grateful that we can do it in private and that nobody found out about. Now we started again to get really incensed about that notion. I felt the same way. I mean, I was mad. I mean, I did not think that, first of all, we were asking for something that was detrimental to anybody else. And that if they were going to talk about equality, they had left us behind, together with a number of other people. So I thought it was totally justified. I didn't feel that I was doing anything against the society. But we were trying to actually let society know that they had not really fulfilled the promise of the Declaration. I'm very glad that I was part of it. And I am very satisfied that of all of the progress that have been attained, you could be part of any group, but you couldn't be part as a gay person. And that is gone. And I look forward to the day in which, and that is fast approaching, in which it will make no difference. The change have been fantastic.